olan herkese çiçekleriz.
Here, yes. Okay. Then I see this.
Do you have a standard in mind? Wow, that is small.
Is it efficient?
Yeah, it's very good. So it is a nice, great surprise. Yes. To see. I think how projects. How everything started. Sorry, but
let's wait till everyone has settled down. It's noisy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I can just.
Yeah, that would be nice. Thanks.
We'll manage.
Are you? Let's just wait till. Oui, on peut avoir de l'eau plate aussi.
Oui.
Merci. Un peu de water.
Merci beaucoup.
Voilà.
Perfect. Thank you, darling. And so, yeah, how everything started with this project? It was seeing me acting.
From the genesis of coming to me, you mean, from the beginning? Well, Abel Ferrara contacted my new agent and said he'd like to meet me on Skype, which was a bit different. Yeah, from New York, and we talked for about 45 minutes, and at the end of the meeting, I felt like he was a real character, and I didn't know whether it would ever happen, but I was thrilled, even that he was interested to meet me. And I always thought that I should do a movie with Abel Ferrara, and I didn't know what role could possibly come up that would be part of his universe. And then he came back to me 2 weeks later, and I said yes. And I just, it was very easy. It was just no, it was just easy. I don't know, it just sort of flowed. And then I heard that Isabella Gianni had been the person who was going to do it. I didn't know about that in the point before that. And I thought, wow, it's a bit of Johnny and me. What's the difference? We're so different. And, well, she didn't do it. I wonder why she's not doing it. And anyway, I didn't think about it too much. I said, I'm doing it. And it was quite straightforward. They asked me to... Abel sort of wanted me to put my character together, and I decided to have different hairdo and different, and sort of dressed her the way, a lot of my own clothes in the film, and which often happens. I often wear my own, lots, you know, put together things in my own wardrobe, and budget always being an issue in the small movies, and what I didn't have, they provided, and I really didn't know how it was going to go. I was excited to work with Gérard, who I knew already a little bit, but not closely. I had seen some of his work, and you know, it was just a sort of, it's a sort of, you do a little thing and you feel, is it going to work here, and what's happening next, and is there a, who's the leader on this? It was all rather a bit vague, actually. I mean, this is not the most structured group of people.
Challenge.
What?
Challenge for you?
Well, just, you know, in terms of just doing, you know, you everybody needs a sort of A, B, C, D, E, you need to know what your sort of line. It was a bit, will anybody call me about that, or how is it? But then they got a good hair and makeup person, and I visited the set once. He was shooting a scene where Gérard was attempting to have sex with a young woman, and she was fighting. And I thought, ooh, goodness me.
definitely.
Goodness me. And I visited I didn't stay around very long, and I thought, it seems to be quite matter of fact. It was just being shot, and she was screaming her head off, and I thought, wow, that girl can scream. It turned out, actually, that was the person who Abel was involved with. That was his girlfriend. Was a good actress too, and then I was in New York waiting to shoot, and then we just sort of started. And my scenes were always in that big house room, except for The Arrival. And when we did The Arrival, the paparazzi's arriving, and I saw the photographs, I said, wow, I really don't look like myself. This is really good. This is really, like, it's coming together. The look is coming together. The way I'm walking, my skinny little legs, the little thing, and I said, there's something feminine there. It's good. And it's not typical of what's been done now. And I can see a person. I can see a different character. And then when we went into the... It was very noisy in the street. There was always lots of people and buzz and noise. And then when we closed the door... I love the way Abel cuts the sound almost completely, and we go into that private world. And then he said, we have a script. I mean, it was a cohesive script. He was still working on it, but I'd sort of learned what I needed to learn. And he didn't sort of come to pass. I didn't feel like we were ever going to do a scene, because he said, well, no, I don't want that. Out. I hate that bit. And the writer's standing there, so I was surprised, because most writers would be upset, but obviously the writer was not upset. He was perfectly used to this, I suppose. And then...
Sorry.
And then he said, I want you to go out there and make it real. Then, Lord, please God, now we're going to... What if I can't? What if Gerard that resists me, or how are we going to attack into this? And I didn't want the marriage to fall apart in the scene before we got to we had to go stages, you know. And there's nothing in there to work with. There was nowhere to sit down. And so we stand around, and I found an old, shabby old orange in there. So we did this like 15-minute improvisation, which started with me finding an orange, which never made it into the movie, and I thought, well, you bastard, am I going to share the orange with you? I thought, I'll share the orange with you. So we shared the orange, and we just were kind of living around each other in that room. And then I had another idea, I can't remember what it was, but I wanted to drink something, and I went looking for... I wanted a coup de rouge, I wanted a glass of red wine. Completely forgot I was in America, and there was unlikely to be a lot of red wine around. But then I thought, well, there were workmen here bringing all the pictures in, so maybe there would be. So all these thoughts were going on, and I said, no, wait a minute, workers don't drink wine, they drink beer, probably. So then I didn't find the beer or the wine, and that led to another section of improvisations. And then he said what was about 15 minutes take, and then he said, okay, now we'll do it again, and he moved the camera, and we never repeated our gestures or anything from before. I thought, I was trying to remember, where was I at the point? It's hard to remember where you've been 15 minutes walking around. I couldn't remember, and I didn't remember what I said. I was nervous. It felt okay. And then we did it again, probably about 4 times, each time very different, and Gerard basically kind of taking the cues off me from, he was on the defensive, and I was not ready to attack, really, even though I wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty. And we sort of worked our way through. And when I saw I thought, how are they going to cut this? Because there was nothing done twice. It was but obviously, he chose the sections he wanted.
And we go in a row, I think.
Okay.
It's best.
Okay.
Jacqueline, I'm curious, because your protagonist is Gerard, your husband is addicted from sex, and your character is addicted from him, from the man who just abandoned her, who just being unfaithful. So what is your thinking about such, there are a lot of women around in such relations.
Of course
there
are. Well, I think that
about that kind of...
you think people suffer. I mean, mm-hmm. There was a lot of unhappy women. It's this business of infidelity is such a danger zone, mm-hmm. for women emotionally, and then you take it into the public sector, and then of course, mm-hmm. it's even more humiliating, and everything that, of all the horror that any woman wants to go through, it's just doesn't. No one wants to go there. And but if you love somebody, I think devastating, devastating. It's such a big subject, it's really hard to talk about it. I need a question, a specific question.
We're going to go in a row, otherwise it's just going to be a mess. This is for radio, so I'm going to ask you if you would be so kind to just hold the microphone when I'm finished, please, thank you. There's a quote Simone says in a film that I think was very powerful. She says that the opposite of love is not hate, but indifference. Could you elaborate a bit on that, that indifference that you feel after love?
Well, that statement doesn't cover it for everybody. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I agree with that remark. That is not one of our improvisations. That was a line that was one of our writers. Maybe in time it's indifference. I don't believe that really, though. I think love stays with you. I don't think it goes away.
Okay.
I haven't lived long enough to know till I'm fully, but I retain love for the men I've loved, and for the people I've loved. So I'm definitely not indifferent to the people I've loved.
Thank you. That's a very cool answer. Thank you.
You said that you were using your own clothes and that you are doing writing many independent films because you don't have enough funding. But I was curious how this helps you, you create your own character, and how much of yourself is investing going together with the clothes. Maybe the clothes are making you feel more comfortable with the character.
Well,
and how do you pick the clothes?
Well, I gather things, you know, I gather clothes, some of them are old and some of them, I don't throw away that many things, that I dress in a fairly conservative way, classic way, so my clothing doesn't really alter that much through the years, and I keep things for a very, very long time, and, but by changing my hairdo, my hairstyle, my whole, or the whole thing, showing my legs, not showing my legs, is a massive difference. I have a tendency to dress rather loose clothing, and I have to make an effort to wear tight stuff because I'm self-conscious, and when I put on weight I don't like the way I look, so I tend to kind of dress a little bit loose, and I didn't feel that was her at all. I felt she would have a more tailored kind of you know, everything you do changes. It's like when you do a period piece, you put on the underwear as the key thing to get the shape of the body for the clothing, so you walk, it's the corset and the little cushions they stick under your skirt to get the clothes to, and it just puts you in the mood. You get the feeling of the walk, and heels or flats or anything. I felt she was a feminine woman, would probably wear heels. I didn't really see her wearing sort of mediumly practical clothing, but I just try stuff. And once I got the hair sorted out, I felt like I was starting off on a different tack. But I did not expect to look as I do when I see the film. The lighting, he virtually used no lighting. It was just lit, that building was lit with like one of these things, but it was natural light, but coming from three flights up. It was very intense. And it bounced on the floor, the marble floor, and had a very strange lighting. It kind of knocked out some of the features. I felt that the excessive light was gonna block out some of the features of one's face and show up the things that were ugly. I was horrified by the lighting. I was terrified of it. And you couldn't get away from it. The only way you could get away from it was to stand on the very far edges of the room. And the first thing Jerry always said was, go into the center of the room. It's like, no, I'm being sacrificed. I felt like I was being sacrificed. It was painful. Anyway, I better get over this, Jackie. You better get over this vanity thing. You are so scared of looking ghastly. And being angry, the combination of being angry and looking so ugly and so hard. Anyway, I worked my way with great difficulty through that. And when I saw the film, I said, oh God, I look mean. I mean, I look so tight. I was so tight. I was just wound up. But I was in the moment, and there's no escape from it. That's where it took me. And it just took me. It's very hard to be conscious of how one is anyway, but I think we all delude ourselves with our mirrors, we go to our mirrors and we poop out and everything, and we don't see how we're doing to other people. Everybody does it. I think every woman does it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
embarrassing when you see yourself.
Everyone
I've seen myself. Men too.
Everyone has
yes.
a mirror face.
Yes, a mirror face. Yeah, exactly. Well, I got a, yeah, exactly, a mirror face. Yes, it's sort of semi-pout, and you sort of... what am I talking about? I don't know. But ask me a question.
I saw a quote in the brochure. It said, the power is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
I beg your pardon?
They say power is the ultimate.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why Simone and his husband, her husband, stay together?
I think she just loved him. He was brilliant. She felt he was brilliant. She saw him as a fantastic man, and she was in love with him. I mean, what more do you need? I know, but what more do you need? I only judge for myself. I'm not. I think power can be fascinating, yes. I think a fascinating man is a very powerful man. Fascinating. A man already who listens is already, for a woman, usually a fascinating man, even though he's listening to you or somebody else, but just the fact that he listens makes him powerful. And I don't think men know that enough.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no. So you said that you look very tight. She looked tidy on the screen, your character.
Yeah.
And very conservative. She came from the money family, really rich family, and she loves the power, and he has the power.
I don't know if she loves the power. That I don't know. I can't make comment
maybe
on that.
Maybe. So she loves him anyway. So their lifestyle and the situation and the social status is sort of the establishment side. When you play that kind of society or the role, do you feel very different from yourself? Is that the kind of enjoyment you get out of the, you know, very totally different kind of person who lives in a different world with different values from yourself? And another question is...
One at a time. I don't know whether she felt rich.
Mm.
She was rich, apparently. I didn't think about that. I think if you've got a lot of money, you're not thinking about it. It's when you're trying to get it that you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I thought about her social life. I was so absorbed in her unhappiness and her shock and anger and humiliation that I really didn't ever go into that other side. She left that side, and when she steps out of Paris, when she gets the telephone call in Paris, which is part of her social life, and she's being awarded praise, but that was gone. I mean, she gets to New York, and I think she's... exasperated to a point of...
Yeah. She kept saying, I worked all my life of this.
Yes.
But it's about him.
It's about him.
Because she already got it with the family. So what she's working for is what she didn't already had, which is some sort of, what he's got is like a situation of maybe the power of, or I don't know.
I think she wanted,
I
don't know if it was status.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't think of it as status. I thought of it as him being at his top potential.
Yeah. Yes.
And him... She saw him being a leader, and I think that's attractive to a woman. Yes, somebody. And if you, I imagine it's a bit like a mother having a child who's not going to his full capacity.
Yes,
and
you're right.
She wants. That's what she cares about.
Yes.
Work harder.
Yes.
Do it. Get out there. You know. And I don't know for sure because I haven't got children, but I imagine that would be so. And I just felt she was very much in love with him and happy with him.
Number two question is, what was your personal opinion about this incident before you did the film? And after you did the film, did you have a very different point of view about him and the incident that happened?
When it was all happening,
I
wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. I was busy with stuff and I heard about it. And I didn't know who he was at all. I never heard that he was up for being possibly in government. And I thought it sounded unpleasant. but it was there were no facts. There were suspicious things. It seemed, I thought, has he been set up? That seemed like a possibility. I know the French elections were coming up, there were a lot of gossip. I was as into the gossip as anybody else was. And and then people were talking, friends, people I know were supposedly in the know, this was in the know, that was in the... People start saying what they know. You don't know. People self-serve themselves when they say they know who they know. They're pumping their own fame up by doing it. As they speak of it, you think, well, is this, who's this about? I'm convinced, criticism is always about, it's very often about the person who's giving the criticism rather than the person who's they're criticizing. So, I didn't spend a lot of energy on it, I tell you. I thought, what an unpleasant situation. How unpleasant mutually, if there was an indecent act, or if there was to be set up both ways. I thought it was, the facts haven't really ever become clear.
What do you think about such rumors around?
We all need our history.
Oh, sorry.
We all have our since we go in a row,
For me, there was a strong sense that she had groomed him into that position of power.
Are you talking about in the film or
in the
news?
In the film.
Oh, in the film. How would you do that? How would you? Do tell me.
Well,
how would you groom someone for power?
Well, not very successfully.
But
I mean, there is a strong history both in the real world and in cinema of these kind of strong women who are behind weak but powerful and brilliant men. And I just wonder if you have any thoughts as to why she wouldn't want the power herself. Because she clearly thought that he would make a positive difference in the world if he had that position.
Mm.
And your character is clearly a powerful woman, innately.
Mm.
And why do you think she and other women let men kind of play that out vicariously for them?
Play
that out vicariously, so... She kind of thinks he should be powerful. Why didn't she want the power for herself?
I think she's very much a womanly woman.
Thank you.
So, am I talking with this?
Yes, please.
I think she's a very... it's just a normal microphone.
Yeah, right? but it's for radio, so the voice is proper. That's why. Thanks.
I think she's a very womanly woman. I think she probably, and I with that, and maybe through my own judgment, I feel that probably a womanly woman is happy when a man is in good form and in good... functioning and is doing what he's good at, and I think that's just that sympathy towards that relationship. I mean, I don't think most relationships work out well when the woman says, "Shut up, darling, I want to do it instead of you," kind of thing. It doesn't tend to work out. I think she certainly was very good at her job and was a very luminous character and brilliant at it, and her own power and everything, but I think most women want to meld, I'm not sure that when you want to be close to somebody in your relationship, she's married to him, so I felt that that's what she was enjoying, having a job, a good job, and also being very much married woman, and having their children, and I see this love story, that's what I see. Predominantly.
Yeah. She's loving it.
Yes. And we're happy, a happy kind of life where you're getting satisfaction as a woman on the level of your relationship and your personal life.
So just in response to that, do you think that politics inevitably needs to be masculine?
No, I don't. But I don't think usually two stars in the same family usually work.
Yeah. And yet on screen it's such an amazing thing.
On screen?
On screen it works so well, but in real life...
there are people who have enough self-respect for each other that maybe it can work, but generally, I don't think it brings out the best. Most men don't shine as much, I think, in their own eyes, when the woman is constantly trying to top them, if there is that thing. I don't think that works in any combination. I mean, one person needs to be... You need to take turns, I think. I found out in my life that you need to take turns. You both can be
wonderful and very good at everything, but you just have to, one has to keep listening. When the other one is talking, the other one has to listen. So, somehow. And it's not easy for a person who's been always listened to, I would have thought, to be completely quiet when she it's a balance. I don't know what the answers are, but I felt predominantly that love sorts things out to a large degree as a baseline, and as long as that feeling of is there, you can take a lot of stuff. I mean, God knows women have gone through hell for men,
yes,
and waited for them and gone through years of desolation and isolation and waiting for men who they love. I don't know nowadays if people have the same relationship with love. I have a feeling it's slightly shifted. Unfortunately, I think it's become more, people are less deeply committed to, seemingly, to relationships. I hate to say that, but I'm beginning to feel that.
Yeah.
Does anybody agree?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, absolutely.
Pragmatism, consumerism instead.
Something, yeah.
But men also, they don't get, you know, better, much better for going with the history of they behave.
Well, we don't know that.
Okay.
I think
we don't know
that.
Okay.
What? I
think
there's a significant shift in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't know for sure the way it was before.
Yeah.
We didn't have the video.
Thank you so much for us.
Just, is there any struggle for you to differentiate when you're watching and when you're playing your character and yourself?
I don't know what the answer to that is. I just go and do it. I just do it. I don't know. I don't look at it. I mean, as I say, I got a shock when I saw myself in this. I said, wow, what a sharp, tight shot. What a wound up person. I felt wound up at the time, but I still had my, when I looked in the mirror, I was just myself. I wasn't all wound up in the mirror. Kind of thing. So suddenly you see, you go, that's the acting part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were fantastic.
Thank you.
You're really good.
Thank you.